let's open in a word of prayer, and we'll have some people come up and family members that want to say a few words about Jackson and his memory. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Lord, to celebrate the life of Jackson. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts for everybody in this room and anyone that may hear this online, Father, that you still have a message to be taught today, Lord, and I pray that you prepare our hearts and minds. I pray, Lord, that your words come out today and not our own. I pray, Lord, that you be with the family, give them strength to say the words that they would like to share with everybody so that everybody can have those good memories of Jackson and to be able to relive them over and over again. And Father, I thank you so much for the gift of life and the gift of salvation, Father, that you offer to each and every one of us. And we all pray this in your name. Amen. Christine and Bill.
Thank you all for coming to help us celebrate Jackson. So we appreciate you coming from long and far. So we appreciate you coming. I had a few things written down, but I like to wing it. So we're going to wing it. Jackson was, as a lot of you know, was a gentle giant. He was quick to want to help people. He always gave out candy wherever he went. So he was just a sweet soul. And we got a few stories we'll tell about him. Obviously he was a big gamer, right? So he loved his video games, and we could never go anywhere without his video games or a phone or an iPad, something. He always had to have something. But what a lot of people don't know is that even with the onset of his disease, that he blew me away. He was so smart in so many ways. He built his own video game. He did the coding on it. And this is a young man that had a disease that just, you know, took away some of his functions, but he was so special and so smart in so many ways. And of course, if there was any electronics in the house and we don't know how to work them, we would ask Jackson, and he'd roll his eyes because it was always something simple that we needed to hit, and yet that he knew it. But that it just blew me away for him to teach himself how to do the coding. So that was just something that just blew me away. And so obviously with Malcolm and Jackson, they were brothers, but they were really totally opposites in so many different ways. Malcolm and I shared certain series, movies that we liked, that were totally different from Jackson. Jackson loved anime, he loved Star Wars, and that's where we had our connections. So there was a series that spun off that was called The Mandalorian. And we would look forward to every Thursday a new episode would come out. And it killed him to wait, because Jackson would watch a series from beginning to end, and there's no stopping. It was, I'm going to watch it from beginning to end. So I'd go, hey, did you want to watch? And he goes, oh, I already watched it. So so The Mandalorian was our connection. And so every Thursday I would look forward to it, and he's waiting for me to get home because, you know, he was chomping at the bit to watch it. So with each of the boys, we had a different connection, right? with Malcolm. You know, I told this story before. He wanted to build a, he wanted to dig up the backyard and build a shelter in case something happened. And he wanted me to convince Mom that it was okay that we could go dig up the backyard. So as I would say, let's revisit that. And so hoping that he would forget about it. He never did. Like I said, with Jackson, it was a different relationship. And, you know, he would beg us for video games, the newest one that was coming out. And he would just beg us and beg us. And he would get it, and he would play it over and over and over again. And then he would be the first one to go. One of his friends wanted it. He goes, hey, I'll give you mine. To my wife's chagrin, as we spent all that money on the video games. But that's how he was. He was very giving, and so it was quite a different relationship with both boys. And then I know I told the story from Malcolm, but it's one of my favorites. It was our first Christmas together, and I had bought each of the boys a little Nerf gun. And then, but in the frenzy, they're just opening, throwing paper everywhere, that there was a third gun, and they're like, hey, Mom, Dad, I think you messed up. You got three. And Christine goes, no, that's actually for your dad. So we had many a Nerf battles in our house for quite a while. And it's one of my best memories, because their eyes lit up when she said, this, the third one's for Dad. And their eyes just lit up, and the expressions I'll never forget. And so I just wanted to share those quick stories with you. So.
Unlike Bill, I'm not good at winging it. And I'm not good at looking at everybody right now either. So, and unlike what Pastor said, I don't have a few words to say. I have six pages to say. So here we go. Buckle in. Before I begin sharing about the life of my youngest and biggest child, I do want to thank every one of you for the love, the support, the concern, but most of all, your unfailing prayers for Jackson and for our family over the 14 years. Sorry, since 2010 that Jackson and our family have been fighting this disease with Malcolm and him. I'd also like to thank Dr. Black, the boys' psychiatrist. He was and still is a huge support system for our family. He helped me navigate numerous issues with some of the hospitals in the area. He was the boys' doctor, but he was also their friend. And they loved him, and they would open up to him without any boundaries. Jackson was born on December 30th on 1999 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a mere 11 months after his brother and best friend was born. Jackson had not even been born yet and was entered into a Y2K contest. The newborn had to be delivered closest to January 1st or on January 1st to receive the Y2K prize of free diapers and more awesome gifts for 1 year. Of course, I wanted the diapers after having a child already in diapers. There was one other woman who was a new mom, and she was in active labor as I was. Both of us were taking the contest very seriously too. However, I think it was the McDonald's Big Mac and French fries that my brother-in-law had brought in for my sister and I that caused my delivery to progress quicker. When Jackson was born at 11:54 p.m., the delivery nurse at the top of her lungs several times announced that I had just delivered a carrot huge moose. I think she was under the impression that the 24 hours ordeal that I had just undertaken had left me hard of hearing and had rendered my Barbie brain completely unable to comprehend the size of a newborn I had just delivered. And trust me, I knew. When Jackson weighed in, she again very loudly announced he was a little shy of 10 pounds. When I was finally handed my new bundle of joy, I looked at him and thought all the newborn clothes had to be returned. This wasn't a newborn, this was a toddler. I looked at this sweet, very full-faced, and his fiery red hair sneaking out of his cap, and I thanked God for this sweet blessing he gave me, and I apologized to God for crying for the first 5 months after I found out I was pregnant on the 6-week checkup. By the way, the other new mom, she won the Y2K contest by 7 minutes. She delivered at 12:01. I got a congratulations certificate for my son's birth, but what I really wanted was the diapers. His sister Christiana and his two cousins, Elizabeth and Erica, loved having a new little human that fit perfectly in their doll strollers to run around the house with and pretend with. Malcolm did not share the same feelings as the rest of us did with Jackson's new arrival. As time passed, Malcolm would do anything and everything he could to show his displeasure with his new brother. Typical sibling rivalry. When Jackson was 6 weeks old, he had come down with RSV and was hospitalized for a time. The doctors did not think he was going to make it. I spent my days in the hospital praying for healing. God heard my prayers, and Jackson was finally strong enough to be released. He was sent home on oxygen for 24/7 for over 2.5 months. While at home, we had a huge tank of oxygen with a 100-foot hose. When we would have to go out, he had 2 traveling tanks and a knapsack that he was hooked to. Malcolm would go up to Jackson and rip the oxygen hose out of his nose. Malcolm would also take Jackson's pacifiers out of his mouth, put them in his mouth. Same with Jackson's bottles. He would take Jackson's stuffed animals and blankets out of his crib and claim them as his own. Jackson was so good-natured, though, and very happy, easy-go-lucky baby and toddler and youngster. The only time he would get upset were when he was still hungry, and Malcolm hid his prized possession, a lilac John Lennon rhino. He carried that animal around as his security blanket. I had to buy a few for backups as he would be falling asleep, and even during his sleep, he would take the tag and roll it between his fingers over and over. So the rhino was not missing any fur on his body, but the tag, all the writing on the tag was missing. As Jackson started eating regular food and loving it, Malcolm finally realized that this little brother of his could come in handy. Malcolm had a lot of sensory issues from not breathing for over the first 5 minutes of life, and he was a very picky eater and did not talk until almost 4 years old with a lot of medical and family assistance. Malcolm would point or go, and little brother would come running to his side. Jackson was more than eager to assist with any little need that Malcolm had. If it was McDonald's chicken nuggets, French fries, pizza, or mac and cheese, it was not going into Malcolm's mouth. So Malcolm would give what he did not want to Jackson, who would be waiting with his mouth open to get his leftovers. Jackson definitely lived up to his hospital name of Moose and was nicknamed several other names like Jack-Jack, Pumpkinhead, Sweet Pie, and My Cupcake, which he absolutely hated that one. So his mother would always tease him with it. At a young age, I had the boys baptized at the same time at our church in Mesa, Arizona. Our pastor had a few long talks about each boy and the special areas that they needed prayer in. I thought we had an understanding, and he saw the big picture. Malcolm required the most prayer, had numerous special needs, and was not talking. Jackson, on the other hand, was doing awesome and just needed a quick father-son Holy Spirit covering. Oh. The baptism was about to start, and our pastor and I had one more talk. Malcolm, lots of prayers. Jackson, simple prayer. The boys and I, along with family members, took our appointed positions on the church stage. After the pastor did the church introductions, a little rundown of the family, especially the boys, before we got to the important part, the prayers over them. Pastor starts praying over Malcolm, and it was going great. But before I knew it, he was anointing Malcolm's forehead and moving on to Jackson. He starts praying for Jackson, and he's going on and on. I actually missed what he was saying, because in my own head I'm having a conversation, wrong child. That was Malcolm's prayer. Jackson,
quick prayer. Malcolm, long prayer. So Jackson is not a care in the world child. After Christiana, you couldn't ask for an easier child. Continuing to have this full conversation, thinking that I knew what was best for my boys instead of what God knew. And after the baptism, we get in the car, and my mom was saying to my dad and I, that was such a great baptism. I just loved what the pastor prayed over Jackson. And I was like, no, he did the wrong prayer, Mom. It was Malcolm that we needed, that long prayer about obedience and all of that. And my mom goes, the Holy Spirit talked through him, and he knew what he was saying. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, what is my future going to be like? Hey, we only have four more pages to go. Malcolm and Jackson were known as Irish twins because they were born 11 months apart. Malcolm in January and Jackson in December of the same year. They were in the same grade throughout the school years. Their teachers, who ended up having both boys in their rotating classes, were always shocked to find out the two were brothers. They did not look anything alike. The teachers would tell me that Malcolm was such a charmer that rules did not pertain to him. He had a smile that would get him out of so much trouble with them and his mom, but in so much trouble with the girls. He was never without a date. They also thought Malcolm would make a great politician or lawyer. These same teachers would describe Jackson as a game creator, followed rules to the T. He lived for playing on his gaming devices all day long with his group of friends. Malcolm was always outgoing, always had to be on the go, loved expensive name brands. I wonder where he got that one from. He loved to eat out every day and would always order the most expensive meals. Jackson was a homebody and mama's boy. He was happy climbing on my bed to cuddle and watch cartoons or anime. He was shy and quiet, a youngster of very few words. He did not care where his clothes came from or the name on the label. He enjoyed eating out as well, but would always order the cheapest meal. And he would tell me, Mom, I don't want you to run out of money. Before becoming symptomatic with the disease, he was outgoing and made friends easily. I had the boys in sports through our church, and Jackson would be on the field picking flowers for me, giving his teammates hugs. He reminded me of the bull from the Disney new movie, Ferdinand. His teammates weren't very pleased with him, but that didn't bother or teeter Jackson. He would still go out there every practice and game and pick the flowers and give hugs. When he started having the symptoms, he did not want to leave his room unless we were going to his nanny or grandpa's or auntie's house. He always had two electronics with him, extension cords and chargers everywhere we went. It did not matter if he was at his Bible study or at church. He was on his devices. They were his security blanket, like his Rhino was when he was a baby and toddler. After the boys graduated from high school and we moved here for medical purposes from Arizona, we would fly back to Arizona so the boys could visit their friends and see their auntie and cousin Erica. We were still enrolled with the University of Iowa research program for their disease to be tracked, so we would fly there yearly. It would take us about 15 to 20 minutes to get through security because Jackson would pack a big gaming device, games, remotes, extensions, chargers, and several other devices, plus a huge variety of snack foods. Malcolm would help Jackson get everything out of his hiking knapsack. It was the biggest one we could find to hold all of his stuff. And it would take about four tubs to get everything in it to go through the scanner. Then Malcolm would gratefully help Jackson get everything back into his knapsack and help him put it on his back. I'd be standing there apologizing to everyone around us for taking so long and for holding up the line. We would get to our first plane change and we would have anywhere from an hour to 4 hour layover before our next flight. Jackson would literally be freaking out that we were going to miss the flight. And I would say, but I have to go to the bathroom. And he would look at me, he goes, don't you even think about it. He goes, you're going to make us miss the flight. And I mean, he would have us run to the train, to the next gate, and I'd be like, Jackson, we have so much. No, we don't. We have to get there. I mean, it was like that every time. And, oh, and he would tell me that I could hold it until we landed in the city that we were going to. When the boys were little, Jackson was Malcolm's protector. He attended special needs preschool and kindergarten with Malcolm. Not that Jackson needed it, but we wanted him to learn how to help Malcolm with the multitude of learning issues he had. Plus, it taught Jackson to be able to help others that struggled with learning disabilities. He really took protecting Malcolm and helping Malcolm learn very seriously. When we were stationed and living on base at Scott Air Force Base in southern Illinois, the bus driver for the special needs bus would allow Jackson to ride the bus to school, and then she would bring him back home to me. The kids and I moved to Arizona in 2003. We lived less than 2 miles from my parents' house and not even a mile from my sister and niece's house. We were a very tight-knit family, and the kids absolutely loved spending time with their nanny and grampy, auntie and cousins. Our kids would constantly ask to go over to their houses. When the boys would have their outbursts, it would be their nanny and at times their auntie who would be able to calm them down. Their nanny was blessed when the boys asked her to baptize them in their swimming pool. When my mom passed away in April of 2016, the family had a very difficult time adjusting to the loss of our beloved mom and nanny. Malcolm and Jackson never got over her passing. Then when Malcolm passed away in December of 2020, Jackson was never the same and was unable to process the loss of his brother and best friend. As time went on, Malcolm overcame his special needs. When the boys started middle school, Jackson was really struggling with schoolwork and having learning issues due to the disease. Malcolm stepped up to the plate and became Jackson's protector. Then Malcolm got diagnosed with the disease. At times when they were both having outbursts from the progression of the Huntington's, they would get into these horrific physical altercations with each other. They would swear how much they hated each other, and so on. Even with that said, Malcolm never stopped protecting his little brother. Jackson would get bullied at school, and Malcolm was right there to take care of it. As they progressed in different ways with the disease, they became best friends again. They had their outside best friends, but those two had a strong bond with each other. When the boys started high school, Jackson met three wonderful young men, and they all hit it off immediately. They had so much in common and got along wonderfully. They would spend the weekends together playing games, staying up all weekend, drinking their favorite soda pop, snacking and making plans for the future. The boys would be telling stories, and out of the blue, Jackson would say something floor-slapping funny, and they would all be surprised that it came from him. People would think he wasn't listening because he was always on his phone playing games, but he never missed a beat. Jackson also talked about after graduation how he wanted to get a party bus with his friends. He would buy an old school bus, have it renovated with electricity, TV screens, gaming chairs, a bathroom, a small kitchen that would consist of a big refrigerator and a microwave only. He wanted it painted red, white, and blue. He said they would drive wherever they wanted to and just have a fun time playing games and being together. Unfortunately, that was not meant to be. We're almost done, I promise. Jackson worked for a year at the Buckwalter Kroger, helping the elderly put their groceries in their cars and collecting shopping carts. He enjoyed doing that for a while. For every shift, he would fill his pockets with Jolly Ranchers and chocolates. He would get to work and hand them out to all the employees and anyone else he thought might enjoy a treat. One day, he was taking a break in the sitting area by the Starbucks, and there was a group of older men, sorry guys, that met there weekly for Bible study. He went over to the group and offered them each a piece of candy. They, in return, asked him if he would like to join their pit stop Bible group. Jackson said yes and sat down immediately. If Jackson was working on the day of the Bible study, he would sit down with them. The assistant manager of the store happened to be passing by one time in the area and saw Jackson sitting there. She told him he needed to get back to work, and he told her he would after the Bible study ended. um, He very grudgingly got up and went outside to collect carts. After his shift, the assistant manager had a talk with him, and she told him he could not be participating in the Bible study while at work. He looked at her, and he said, "I quit." I was very proud of him for choosing Bible study over work.
Amen.
Even 6 months after Jackson quit, and I would go into the store to shop, some of the employees would ask me if I was Jackson's mom and share with me how this young man touched their lives with a simple piece of candy. That was his ministry. It was worth going to Sam's Weekly and picking up several big bags of candy. Jackson touched lives that we had no idea that he touched, until people, medical staff, and others found out he had passed away, and they shared their stories of how this gentle giant made a huge impression on them. Unfortunately, he was not always a gentle giant. As his disease progressed, he became more unpredictable with his outbursts and physical attacks. It came to a point at times I was afraid, but I knew it was not my Jack-Jack. But the disease was taking over more and more. The last 8 months, the disease had ravished his brain, and I could no longer care for him on my own. God used the wonderful nurses at Walterboro and then at McLeod Hospital up in Florence to provide the kind of care I could not provide my son. My plan had always been to bring Jackson home and care for him during his last days, but God had a different plan in mind. 3 days before I was supposed to fly to Arizona to help my sister Joy drive across country to Jacksonville, where she was having a house built, I had just gotten up to Jackson's hospital room where the doctors wanted to have a talk with me. After several doctors, including the hospice doctor, independently examined Jackson, they all came to the same diagnosis that it was time to put Jackson on hospice. As I saw only a glimpse of my son anymore, I kept praying to God to please have grace and mercy on his child. He had suffered and fought so hard with this disease. It was one thing to grieve your child during the first diagnosis, then to grieve with every loss of function and progression of the disease, to grieve the life you wanted for your child as they grew up and became an adult, and to know they would not even be hitting the milestones of driving, going to college, getting married, and having a family. And even though I had been praying and preparing myself for the day our Lord would call Jackson home, I was not prepared. None of us were. We rejoice that Jackson is in heaven and our Heavenly Father has made him disease free, and that he is back with his beloved nanny, brother, auntie, and Uncle Fox. I will forever miss him. I love you more than words can express. The hole that remains from your passing, Jackson, is real and overwhelming. It was an honor being your mom. And I could not have been prouder of you and how you handled the progression and the loss of independence as the disease progressed. At night, as I did when you were a young child, I would tuck him in like a taco or pull the covers over his face several times asking, "Where's Jackson?" And the giggles and smiles I would get from him will remain in my special memories, along with the smirks when I would tell him I loved him and he would not respond until I cupped my ear waiting to hear him say, "I love you too, Mom." I would also touch Jackson's nose and say, "You are Mama's hero, and you will always be my hero." Then I would touch my nose and say, Mama's Jackson's dork. And he would get a smile on his face, and sometimes he would shake his head and say, I wasn't his dork, but most of the time he agreed. I'm sorry. I know I have been long-winded, but I have one last funny story to share how I became Jackson's dork. In mid-2016, I had just gotten a new Range Rover. Jackson and I were going through the automatic car wash when I realized I had forgotten to turn the mirrors in towards the car. Not being completely familiar with the layout of all the buttons in the car, as the multicolored soap was being applied, I hit the buttons, but instead of the mirrors going in, the two windows went down. Just as the soap got to the window area, yep, you guessed it, the inside of the car along with Jackson and I got covered in the yellow, purple, pink, green, and blue soap. Both of us were screaming and hitting the buttons on the door to try to get the windows up. The problem was we were pushing the buttons at the same time, so the windows weren't moving. Jackson's yelling at me to stop touching the buttons, and I'm screaming that my new car and hair were getting ruined. We have priorities. We finally got the windows up. We were both covered in soap along with the inside front driver and passenger areas of the car. When we got out of the car wash, we had pulled into one of the parking spots to grab some towels. After the initial shock, we both looked at each other and started laughing. We were a mess, and so was the car. Jackson goes, Mom, you are such a dork. And a Barbie. I can't believe you did that. Whenever we would go into a car wash, Jackson would say, don't touch any buttons, Mom. It actually traumatized both of us. But that is where Jackson's dork came from, along with Barbie comments I would have. You are my hero. I love you very much, and I am so proud of you. You had courage beyond your years. And I know a lot of you knew or heard about Jackson when we were having behavioral issues, but that was not my son. It was what the disease was doing to his brain that caused those outbursts. Please remember all the happy memories that his friends and family will be sharing today, because those were my Jack. A young man that loved God, his family, especially his two nephews, his friends, his dog, and his dogs. He was kind, caring, giving, and had a great sense of humor and extremely protective of his mama. He loved helping me cook or bake. He would give away anything if someone wanted it. That's what my son was really like.
Next, we'll have Christiana.
Sorry, just give me a second. Thank you all for being here. To celebrate and remember my brother. Growing up, Jackson always had this gentle giant way about him. The dogs gravitated to him because they recognized the kindness and gentleness of his soul. He wasn't always the loudest and didn't crave being the center of attention, but he had this way about him where he was so funny and goofy. There was one time when he was at a doctor appointment and his doctor asked him how he was doing. And he says, "Well, there's a problem with my butt." And my mom knew where this was going and she says, "Jackson." And the doctor says, "Okay, what do you mean?" And he says, "Well, there's a big crack in it." That story still makes me laugh because honestly, that just perfectly encapsulates his sense of humor. As his disease progressed, the difference between where Jackson started and the disease ended began to get smaller and more difficult to recognize. But Jack never stopped fighting. Even if he didn't fully understand what was going on with his body, his instincts told him to fight. Over the last couple months, I really struggled with understanding the point. I couldn't understand the point of what he went through and how he suffered. A few years ago, there was a message shared in this room about prayer. The pastor talked about how sometimes our prayers aren't answered in the ways that we hoped, and that sometimes God's answers to our prayers are no. God, please heal them. No. This message stuck with me all of these years because God saying no to a prayer doesn't make him an unjust God. But it does validate that everything we go through has a purpose, including the pain. Our pain has a purpose. So the answer to what was the point, I don't know. I don't think it's for us here on earth to ever fully understand. And maybe that's the point, right? Because what I can tell you with absolute certainty is that what I saw during Jackson's life was that God was moving in and through this process. And he never let go of Jackson, his precious child. God said no to healing him on earth, but he said yes in so many other ways, and Jackson continued to trust in him. He came to church every Sunday and attended Bible study until it got to a point where he couldn't anymore. But Jackson was never angry with God over his disease. He didn't complain. And because Jackson was saved, he's in heaven right now. And I have an indescribable peace that I'll see him again someday. I'd like to end with saying a few words to my baby brother. Jackson, the fight is finally over. I can't even begin to imagine what you went through. Blake and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and he said that you and Malcolm felt more like brothers because, in a sense, you grew up together. Grayson gets so excited when he sees your picture and he says, "Mom, that's Jackson." Is Uncle Jack feeling better yet? Oh, my baby brothers. By God's grace, what a wonderful reunion it will be when the three of us are together again. But until then, you boys have fun up there and enjoy your new bodies, finally healthy and whole. All my love, Sissy.
Such wonderful stories and memories. Jackson touched the lives of everybody he came in contact with. Up next is going to be Barry. If you would like to come up and... Oh, nope, Joy first. I'm sorry. That's my fault. That's why the confused look.
Do we change the order? He's a little taller than me. Hi. I had the honor of being Jackson's auntie. And as I read what I've written, you will hear similarities that I didn't know my sister and my niece talked about. But it just shows how these events in our lives have touched all of us, and they were important. From before Jackson was born, we started our special bond. My sister was my best friend. Little did we know at that time that our children would be more like siblings than cousins. While my sister was pregnant with Jackson, he would respond whenever I would speak to him through her belly or touch his her stomach. It was a privilege being present while she was in labor, dancing around the hospital room as the labor progressed. When Jackson entered into this world, we were amazed at how big he was. We definitely went into Mama Bear mode when the nurse continuously called him a moose. He was our little Jackson. He was my jack-o'-lantern. Even-tempered, happy-go-lucky snuggle bug. Jackson and I quickly became best friends, just like with Christiana and Malcolm. There were so many memories and special moments that it is difficult to share just a few. There was a time when my family was living with my mom and dad as we were waiting for our house to be built. Actually, it kind of seems like a common theme. It was a full house because my sister, Christiana, Malcolm, and Jackson also lived there. After Jackson was born, my mom, Chris, and Christiana took a trip to London. I watched Malcolm and Jackson with the help of Elizabeth and Erica. What I remember most of this time was when Jackson would wake up, because his crib was in my room. He would wake up for the day or from a nap, and he would peer his little head up as far as he could and just smile. And he'd reach out his little arms for me to pick him up and would just want to snuggle. Christiana, Elizabeth, and Erica had another live baby doll in the house that they could play with and dress up. There were times that they would place Malcolm and Jackson in their doll strollers and wheel them around the house. They would also dress them up in play clothes, and they were always good sports about it. They would even let them put makeup on them. We loved having frequent sleepovers. Jackson loved celebrating Easter, Christmas, and the 4th of July. He loved to hunt for eggs and to watch the fireworks. My sister didn't like fireworks, so him and Malcolm and Christiana would go with us. He had beautiful eyes and a smile that would just melt your heart. Jackson was not high maintenance. He liked the simple, finer things, like the gift of presents. He liked to watch movies and play games on his PlayStation or Xbox.
He was very patient with all the questions I would have to ask him about what he was doing in the games. I didn't understand him. He liked to go out to eat. He would help with anything around the house and would have a good attitude most of the time. As the years seemed to fly by, he grew to have a gentle spirit and a love for God. He was good with not being the center of attention. He had a charismatic personality. He was friendly, a jokester. He knew how to keep us laughing, and at times he shocked us with the comments that he would make. He was compassionate, full of amazement, and he loved his candy and chips. To my Jackson, I will miss our talks and our time of being together. I will miss praying with you and instilling God's word in you. After your diagnosis and the disease progressed, you knew that your family would move heaven and earth to ease the pain and challenges you were facing. We gradually saw your beautiful shining light dim as the disease consumed more of you. In spite of that, you would always keep a positive attitude and would let me know that you were doing good. I didn't understand, because I'm like, how could he be doing good? But he always had that positive attitude. It was almost like you just didn't want us to worry. I would pray that God would heal you and your brother from this disease. I had the faith of a mustard seed God's will would be done, praying that you would be healed on earth. Now I have to keep telling myself God had other plans by bringing you home to him. We were not ready to let you go. I am not ready to let you go. To say goodbye. We must seek God as our ultimate comforter as we grieve the loss of your presence. God gifted you to us in this short amount of time. I have learned so much from you and will build off your strengths that you showed by example. Know that you will be missed every day. I will miss our banters back and forth. You are my hero, as I frequently told you. I was so blessed to be present when God brought you into this world. And when he took you home, being a hospice nurse does not help prepare you for when you are with a loved one. I will cherish all the memories we have made throughout your life, my jack-o'-lantern, and especially in your final days. I will miss how your eyes sparkled and your smile when you would see your auntie. I will miss your big hugs and your I love yous. I will miss making you laugh like I did when I tried stretching my back and did my little dance at the hospital. If there could be any good that comes out of all of this heartache is knowing that you are with our Heavenly Father who has restored your body and mind, that you are with your best friend Malcolm, Nana, and great Auntie Joan. You are forever etched into my heart. I love you forever, Auntie. Thank you all for joining us in honoring Jackson's life.
thank you, each and every one of you, to come and celebrate my grandson's life, pay respects to my family, my daughter, and to each of the children and all that you have traveled so far. I would like to start with a prayer. And as a completed Jew, it's called a Kaddish prayer. And I will translate afterwards. Yiskadal Yiskadash Shemal Rabo Yavram Yamal Bailakam Ovei Beis Yer Yisrael Evon Omen Omen. Extolled and hallowed be the name of God throughout the world which he has created and which he has governed according to his righteous will, just as he in all his ways and wise are all his decrees. May his kingdom come and his will be done in all the earth. Praise be the Lord to the life and righteousness, judge forevermore. I have been blessed more than I can ever think of, and how the Lord has graced me with 4 children, 10 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandsons. And I thank him every day, even as you look at my grandson in that picture, and you see his eyes just reaching out and that impetuous smile. And that's been pointed out. It just draws you in. He touched so many lives, just like his brother. They were 2 peas in a pod. If one wasn't doing it, the other was doing it. And I had the pleasure of being around them. So from a grampy's point of view, I can tell you, the best part was, it's time for you to go home. And many a time. But I'm not the sharpest tack when it comes to electronics. And the company I worked for, we had a division, an IT division. And get on the line, I'd spend hours. I had no idea what they were saying, what they were telling me to do. And so one day, probably was grumbling about it, talking with Chris, and my grandson says, Grampy, let me take a look. In a matter of minutes, he fixed my problem. Wow. And I said, you are going to be with me all the time when I have any issues electronically. And as his father pointed out, he had the gift to work electronics. Even my cell phone in the car, my TVs, I would pick up the phone and say, I need your help. And then I turned to my other great-grandson, Blakey, and he's out bailing me out. You'd think I would have some brains to put things together. No. But the beauty of it was is that I had my grandsons. And as my daughter pointed out, Malcolm loved to eat. He'd love to go with you. But as soon as you get in the car, I'm hungry, Grampy. Jackson said he could care less. But Jackson, with that smile of his, it just grabbed you. It sucked you in because it was so impetuous. And we were very fortunate and blessed. He loved the Lord. And 7 years ago, when we started attending this particular church, the Calvary Chapel, I said to him, would you like to go to church? He was out the door at the car, and every Sunday thereafter. And then when we moved into this particular building here, almost 5 years ago, he would sit right over there. And if he could get on this altar, he would get up here. But he loved being as close to hearing God's word. And that was so important to him. He loved the music ministry. And then when he was working, as was already pointed out, at Kroger's, and meeting with the men on Wednesdays for Ben's Bible, and the heat that was enduring, uncomfortable, he'd be out there. And when he left Kroger's, he still wanted to go. He wanted to be hearing God's word. And then he aligned himself with another group of men from Publix, younger fellas. And so come Wednesday, even though he wasn't working, though he could care less about time, but come Wednesday, it was time for Bible study. And if I can't get there, I'll walk. Okay, Jackson, we only live 30 miles from there. You know, we live out in the boonies. That's how fortunate. His heart was always giving. And as Christine has pointed out, and my granddaughter, he would always take a pile of candy and pass it out there. He would give. To him, it was more important to give and to share, never wanting anything in return. All he wanted to do was be able to give. And as Christine pointed out, there were many times he would be out there helping out and doing. But then 2.5 years ago, when the incident happened and his condition started to deteriorate more and more, it wasn't the Jackson we knew, unfortunately. And as painful it was to see him going through what he was enduring and fighting this disease and how it has taken over his body, his mind, his soul. But by God's grace, by his grace, we celebrate. He took him home and took him out of it. Amen. And tomorrow we celebrate a phenomenal day. Yes. Jesus is resurrected.
Hallelujah.
And you know, as a Jew, Passover has great significance to me. And how it's so aligned and so collaborated with the Easter, with the risen of Jesus. The calendar is very close. Sometimes it comes the week before Easter. Sometimes, and this year, it'll be in April, Passover. But there is great significance between the two. We are so fortunate and so blessed. As I stand in front of you, I am blessed beyond words. I am so honored to be able to stand up and share about my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And I'm not giving you my obituary. I'm just telling you how I've been so blessed. And the Lord has been so gracious in every aspect, over and over. And I keep saying, I don't deserve any of it. But he has reached out in so many ways. And as a completed Jew, I am honored. And I thank each and every one of you for you participating, knowing my grandchildren, my grandson Jackson, and celebrating this day. He is home with the Lord. He is with his brother.
Yes, he
and he, when Malcolm passed, wanted to be with him. Over and over he voiced it. He's with his Nana. He's with his aunt Joan, his uncle George, and a number of others. And they're just relishing up there as they look down on each of us that he's finally out of pain and he's not fighting it.
Amen.
I got to see him the day before he passed. I hadn't seen him that at peace. And his body so relaxed and not fighting as he had been over and over. And as a physician's assistant, and when I was practicing medicine, I never saw a patient that ever had a disease like that. My God, I wouldn't have any idea how to treat that as such. But then to see my grandsons having been afflicted as they were, I thank each of you again. Thank you for the time. Thank you for your prayers, your thoughts, reaching out to my daughter and comforting her and the family. And I thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Dan Hunter, and I'm one of those pit stop guys that had the privilege of getting to know Jackson. And I'm honored to be here and to be able to speak on behalf of my fellow brothers in pit stop. We're just a group of men that started gathering together over at the Buckwalter Kroger's and outside at first, and then we found they had places to sit inside, so we went in there, and we take it over every Wednesday, and I think they got agitated. And then they ended up shutting us down and building a liquor store there. No more seating. Which, whatever. You know who was working there. But nevertheless, we had met the most wonderful individual, and that is Jackson. And you couldn't miss this young man, because we'd be sitting there and you'd see this giant coming, you know, and he'd have this bag of candy and he would just flourish, just give it to us. And the first day we met him, we had to ask him to please join our club, because just a wonderful, you could feel his heart. He was a wonderful individual, a young man that just, like everybody had already spoken of, but his heart was for the Lord. He loved Jesus, without a doubt. And what's more important, regardless of his situation in life, that young man, now he's in glory. He sustained and went through everything and didn't complain to nobody. And if he did, it would be to his mother probably, but never to the men. And him and I had some deep conversations. And I got to tell you, he may have been dealing with the situation, but he wasn't alone. He had the power of the Holy Spirit in that boy that would help him more than he even knew. But, oh, I'm sorry. I wrote all this stuff to speak, but anyway, I'll read it. But Jackson to me was a great friend, a good listener, and he always was willing to help when needed. He became a member of the Pit Stop crew right away. He was faithfully coming every Wednesday, like Dad said. And Barry, he had to be there, you know, and either Christine would bring him, or sometimes we'd pick him up. It didn't matter. We just wanted that boy in our lives because he was just a wonderful individual, and he loved to learn about God. And that in itself was attractive. And I had come to understand the bottom line with Jackson was his time was limited, and according to God's timing, it is what all of us realize. There's a time to be born, and there is a time to go home. And God's in control of all of it, regardless what you might think. We would have the best times when we would get together. And Christine allowed us to have barbecue one time out at Honey Hill, and what a time we had, and the laughs, and just the great memories that were developed. And that in itself is a lot, and for a boy like him. You know, I know he spoke of us a lot, and sometimes not at all. But when we talk and when we get together, he had so much to tell me. And, you know, he wasn't much of a talker, but when he wanted to talk, he talked. And truly, there were no words to describe the heart of this young man, because the normal things for men at his age were interested in. But his heart was for Christ, not to dwell on the sad side, but he had expressed it in many different ways. But nothing was going to take away his faith and commitment to the relationship to the Lord that he had, to his Savior. I want to thank Christine and the family for allowing me to be here and to speak on behalf of my fellow Pit Stop crew. And it's not about the Pit Stop, it's about Jackson and about love. And that's what God is all about. And he loves Jackson so much that he said, that's enough. He's been through enough. It's time to come home. We hurt when that happens. I lost my son at 33 years old. I know what pain is. It's not easy to go through what she's going through. But I have to tell you, without the love of Christ and without the relationship with God, you ain't gonna get through it. It's very difficult. So if you don't know the Lord, get to know him. Don't wait, because we are in end times. But Jackson is ahead of the game. He's healed. He's having a blast with Malcolm. They're fishing, because we loved fishing. He's doing all kinds of things. Like, you know him. You know what he's just a wonderful boy. And I love him dearly, and I can't wait to go home. I mean, I'll wait. God's timing's important. But we all will be together. And God says that you will recognize those you knew and those your loved ones. You will recognize him. And yes, we will be together, and we will have a blast. So thank you all. God bless you. And may the peace of the Lord be with all of you.
I love all the stories. I had a very unique relationship with Jackson and Malcolm. I got the privilege of being introduced to them 7, going on 8 years now, that I was able to be a part of their lives and help and sometimes intervene when need be. Everybody talks about Jackson being the gentle giant, and he was for the most part. At times, sometimes not so gentle. But that young man had such a heart and was so kind and so caring to so many people. He's the kind of young man that would literally give the shirt off his back if you asked him for it. And he had touched my life and my family's life just being who he was. And Malcolm as well. Malcolm liked to debate. He was a little bit of my conspiracy theorist buddy. He wanted to question everything, which I love just sitting. We would debate for hours about the silliest things. And Jackson, in pure comedic fashion, would just be sitting there giving little inputs every so often. And it'd be the most off-the-wall thing, but it would make you double over and laugh. He had this way of just coming across to you in whatever situation you were in, and he could always make you laugh. There was one time that it was actually Malcolm that suggested it, but he was like, "Matt, let's go paintballing and take Jackson and we'll all just go shoot each other." And I was like, "I don't know if you understand what you're asking." I was like, "I was in the Army and I like shooting things and hunting," and I said, I'm a pretty good shot. Are you sure?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, it'll be me and Jackson against you." And I said, "Perfect." And I told his mom that they wanted to go and do this. And I think I even had the conversation in front of you when I was talking to the boys. And I said, "I just want you to know," I said, all the headache that you've given your mother and family and all the anger," I said, "guess what? We're about to settle it out there on the field." And that at the end of the day, we were all covered in paint and welts and just completely worn slap out. And we were sitting around the benches, and Jackson looked at me and he goes, "You really are a good shot." Because he would like to hide and just pop his head out, and I'd shoot him in the mask every time. And he was like, "I just couldn't see anything." And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he got me at one point up against the wall, basically. I was caught in a little room. And him and his brother come around the corner. And I don't think I ever had so many welts. But those young men were amazing. They had such strength. They were dealt a hand in their life that not many people could handle with as much grace and dignity as they did. And only in the end, and some of you, friends and family of you, might have only heard some of the horror stories of what the disease was doing to him and how it was making him act. And I want you to know that wasn't Jackson whatsoever. Jackson was the most kind-hearted, sweet young man I've ever met in my life. And I will always remember him. He was my little buddy. I called him a punk most of the time because he was a little punk. I even called him the very last time I got to see him. I got to go up with Christine and sit with him. And I was in there about an hour before Christine got there. And I didn't recognize what he was watching on TV, even though I should have because I grew up watching it. And I was like, "Jackson, what are you watching?" And he just looks at me and he goes, "Scooby-Doo." And I started cracking up. And Jackson, in the end, he didn't talk very much. He had a hard time communicating. But while Christine and I were there, he was talking. He was laughing. That shine in his eyes and that smile was right there. And we got to have just such a blessed time with him there at the end. we got to see Jackson again, even if it was briefly. The family has made, Christiana has made a slideshow that they would like to show the family, so we're going to play that. And then Zayden and the worship team are going to come up and do a few songs, and then we'll close out. So when you're ready.
I wanna live that way forever. I wanna live that way forever. Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around. Because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't want to fight no more. There'll be no more war, and our children will pay.
I'm gone. miss me by my talk. Oh, you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again. Why'd you have to leave so soon? Why'd you have to go? Why'd you have to leave me when I needed you the most? 'Cause I don't really know how to tell you without feeling much worse. I know you're in a better place, but it's always gonna hurt. Carry on, give me all the strength I need to carry on. It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again. Oh, oh, when I see.
Love. Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. The moment that I wake up and I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest nights. You are close like no other. I know you as a father. I know you as a friend. In the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendering. I'll give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am, sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. The goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
I'm coming to the close of the service today, or the celebration. Y'all can be seated if you'd like. I would be doing a disservice if I didn't do something I know Jackson would kick me for, and that's sharing about the most important thing that any of us can ever talk about, and that is what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. Amen. The peace that we are able to have in Jackson's passing, though how painful it is the peace of knowing that he is with our Lord and Savior, that he is in heaven, that he gets to actually celebrate his favorite holiday, which was Easter. He gets to celebrate it tomorrow in the presence of the Lord and then in full glory. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
And I struggled with what I was going to share. I wrote probably three different sermons and messages that could have been shared, everything from when David lost his son to when Jesus walked on the water to when he was in the boat and quieted the storm. There were many things that kept coming to mind, but one thing that the Lord kind of said, nope, I want you to throw all those out. And on the way here, he changed it all. And he gave me a story from the Bible. It's from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. And give you just a little bit. This is, I am the resurrection and the life. This is when Jesus, when Lazarus died, and Jesus was going back and waited the couple extra days. And Lazarus has already been in the tomb for a couple days. So starting in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, in verse 24, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, and pay attention to this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Yes.
It's the question he asked Martha. And it's the question I want to ask each and every one of you in here today is, do you believe that? And if you don't, in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I would like you to pray it with me. Because no amount of good works, no matter how kind we are as people, no works could ever get us to bridge that gap between sin and death. Only one thing bridged that gap, and that was Jesus Christ dying on that cross, which is why we celebrate Easter. And then in 3 days later, he rose, and he made a way for each and every one of us. And I know, and I can't wait. And even with the way the state of the world's in, some people believe the hour may be drawing near, and it very well may, but we don't know, so we are to keep moving forward and carrying on and tarry until then. But I joked with the family and with Christine earlier. I told her, I said, if the Lord does come back, if April 8th is anything or whatever's going to happen, I said, Jackson's probably going to be the first person I find, and I'm going to say, you beat me by that much. But I know he would want to know that you guys are going to see him again. And so if you would, bow your heads with me. And if you've never made that decision today, you can repeat after me and pray this aloud. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to you, Lord. Jesus, wash me clean. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day for my victory. I believe that in my heart and make confession with my mouth that Jesus is my Savior and Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you want to talk with anybody, please find someone to talk to about it. I'll be down front here at the end. But let's close out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for just the gift of life. And Lord, and the gift of salvation that you sent your Son to die for us, to take on our sin so that we may be blameless in God's sight. That his blood is the one that washes and covers us. That he is the only way to get to heaven and to be back in your presence, Father. And Lord, I pray for the family as they continue to mourn. Lord, I pray that you just always remind them that Jackson is with you now and that he is whole and complete. That he's not lacking anything, Father. And that one day they will be able to see him again. that we all will be able to see him again as long as we have that relationship with you, Father. And I pray, Lord, for a hedge of protection around the family. The enemy likes to whisper in our ears when we're hurt or when we're going through a trial. Lord, I ask that you bind the hands of the enemy, Lord, and that you keep the family and the friends and the ones suffering through this, Lord, that you keep them right where we always need to be, and that's at your feet. And Father, I also take this time to bless the food and the fellowship that we'll have after. I pray that you use it to nourish and strengthen us spiritually as well as physically, Father. And we ask all this in your name. Amen. Thank you all for coming. There's refreshments and food out. And we're dismissed.